This edition of the Crunch Zone is brought to you by the O-Line Sports Grill. O-Line is on the front line of Cardinal sports. Come in for wings, happy hour, and $3.99 burgers every Tuesday. It's a sports fan's dream. At the corner of Westport Road and Hurstburn Lane, see the menu online at olinegrill.com and text CRUNCH to 72727 for a buy one, get one free entree.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
You are now listening to the Crunch Zone, coming to you live from a glacier in the Andes Mountains. I am Mark Blankenbaker at U of L Sheriff 50, and I'm joined today by my fellow Crunch Zone contributor, Chris Hatfield, at underscore Chris Hatfield on Twitter. We have a great show planned for you today. We're going to talk about, of course, Michael Dyer. We're going to talk about University of Louisville's number 9 ranking in the USA Today ESPN coaches poll. And then we're going to close out with a little schedule talk and sort of talk about maybe why the schedule isn't as bad as you might think. So it's the Crunch Zone, and it's coming to you right now.
One on one.
All right, now let's talk about this Michael Dyer guy. Now, what's your take on Louisville adding the Auburn transfer, Michael Dyer? Everybody says, you know, he's got baggage. He was at Auburn. He went to Arkansas State. You know, what's your take, and is it worth the risk for Charlie Strong and the University?
You know,
of
we've had plenty of time to wrestle it and kind of form a good opinion. It's been a hot topic for a while, but I think I've got to the point where I'm all in on this kid. I love the chances that he could be, and I think he's in a good situation with the coaching staff. Don't worry about him not being in shape. I think Pat Moore is one of the best in the strength coaches in the country, and I think that's a lot of people's main concern. I think Charlie Strong and Kenny Carter are the perfect people to keep him in line.
You know, Michael Dyer, you know, running back is a rhythm position. You know what I mean? Like, you can be in great shape, but if you haven't had a carry in a while, it's kind of a different deal. Like, yeah. If you're used to taking a hit and rolling and spinning, and you haven't done that in a while, it's a rhythm position. So you can be in great shape, but when it comes to running the football, you got to have those reps.
Yeah.
And he hasn't carried the ball since the Iron Bowl game in 2011, the last game for Auburn, 2 years ago. So is that going to be a problem for him?
You know, I think that's the biggest question mark you have is that I think a lot of people want to turn to him, his off-the-trouble fields, but I don't think that's going to be a problem with the coaching staff. I do think that's a legitimate concern. Like you said, a guy who hasn't played a football game in almost 2 years. So I think I'd expect him to get more in the fold as we approach the conference schedule and things like that. But I'm telling you, if we see the Auburn Michael Dyer, then Louisville is in a great spot with him.
Absolutely. We'll find out if he's in great shape, you know, once he actually reports to camp and the strength and conditioning coaches and the actual running back coach, Kenny Carter, can get his hands on him and put him through 10, 12 reps in a row and see, you know, what his conditioning is like, where his speed is. He's 5'9", 210 pounds. He was first team All-SEC as a sophomore. As a freshman, he broke Bo Jackson's rushing record. He had 242 carries for 1,242 yards and 10 touchdowns as a sophomore. I did think that the one interesting note about Michael Dyer that may actually be a detriment to him getting on the field for the University of Louisville is that in 3 years, he has 3 career receptions. Yeah. And if you look at Jeremy Wright last year, he was Teddy Bridgewater's safety net, 41 receptions, fourth on the team last year. So I think if you're going to be a running back under Sean Watson's offensive system and a security blanket for Teddy Bridgewater, you better be ready to catch the football. And he hasn't really done that at all.
You know, certainly that, and also blocking. You know, we seen it with Corvin Lamb also early in his career where he struggled to kind of pick up the blocks and won't see the field. And just the same with Sean Watson's offense, he likes to incorporate those running backs in a lot of quick dump outs, and particularly give kind of Teddy some outs on the end. And I think another interesting point is to see how some of the players react to embracing him as guys that have worked all summer, and then this guy comes in out of nowhere and a lot of people were hype about him and want to see him on the field. So I think that's also another interesting dynamic there.
Well, let's talk about, you know, how he actually got dismissed from the University of Auburn, because, you know, there's another player on the University of Louisville's team from the same Auburn era. Zeke Pike was a Gene Chizik dismissal. Michael Dyer is a Gene Chizik dismissal Gene Chizik, of course, is now fired after going 3-9 at Auburn last year, won zero games in the SEC. Really seemed like after a robbery that happened within the team, any sort of character issue that followed that, Gene Chizik basically just started kicking people off. And I think Michael Dyer is somebody who was a victim of that. And he was probably deserved to be disciplined. I don't know if he needed to be removed from the school.
Sure.
I think we read his Grantland article about, you know, I made millions of dollars for the school. I felt like it was my right to smoke marijuana. Of course, that's against the laws in 48 of the United States, 50 states.
Yeah.
And everybody makes a big deal about his weapon. But it was a legally registered weapon to Michael Dyer. And then when he goes to Arkansas State, he actually got a speeding ticket, which I think everybody in the United States, and especially anyone listening, has probably had a speeding ticket. And he had his legally registered gun in the trunk. Now, Charlie Strong, one of his two of his five principles are no guns and no drugs. Treat one with respect to two others. But he's violated two of them while being a part of other programs.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to me Michael Dyer has never been charged with a crime. It doesn't seem like he's a bad guy. It seems like he's probably made some bad choices. But I don't feel like this is as big of a risk for the University of Louisville as a lot of people are making it out to be.
I mean, I'd agree. Like you said, it's a guy who's been in some interesting situations. But the fact of the matter is he's had zero charges against him. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are like that his age that get into some trouble. And but I think when you look at particular Charlie Strong from an administrative standpoint, he's really had no troubles like that when he first got at Louisville. He obviously had to deal with some of the things left over from the previous regime. But, you know, I don't think that'll be a problem. I think a lot of people were concerned when Zeke Pike was brought in.
Absolutely.
And there hasn't really been much there. There was that little period of him adjusting and people were wondering about his whereabouts. But by all accounts, he seemed to be fine off the field, so I don't expect it to be any different with him.
You know, with Michael Dyer on campus, the potential for notable athletes with accolades that are just outstanding accolades is huge. Right now, with Luke Hancock being the Final Four MOP, Michael Dyer being a 2011 National Championship Offensive MVP, if Teddy Bridgewater can win the Heisman Trophy, if Devontae Parker can win the Biletnikoff Award,
ridiculous.
Which I think are two really attainable things that could happen. I mean, there's a lot of postseason awards that are going to be out there for Teddy Bridgewater. I think Devontae Parker is going to make a run at the Biletnikoff Award.
Sure.
And I think there could be a period of time where the University of Louisville has Teddy Bridgewater, Luke Hancock, Michael Dyer, Devontae Parker, and any other award winner that happens on campus in the fall, that they could all be on campus playing athletics at the University of Louisville at the same exact time. We call it the Vortex of Greatness. That's kind of unprecedented, I think, probably in any college campus. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost got to the point around here these days is how can you top this, you know?
Yeah.
A BCS championship, a national championship, all the individual accolades, obviously the women's team doing extraordinary things. It doesn't really get much better than this, and I think particularly from my generation, also, obviously I'm a younger guy than you, I think some of the football fans have actually been a bit spoiled because a guy like you has experienced a lot of the troubles, and I don't want guys that are fans that are my age to take this period for granted because it's a special, special time.
Absolutely. You know, I really think that women's volleyball is going to have a huge fall.
Sure.
I think men's soccer is going to have a great, you know, they were in the Elite Eight last year and just barely missed out on the College Cup, and a lot of people forget about men's soccer because they didn't make it to the College Cup, but I think that they will this year. I really believe in Ken Lola, and they're building a brand new, beautiful stadium that'll be ready for them next year. So that's exciting. Before we change topics over from Michael Dyer, there are four really good running backs who have paid their dues, who have waited their turns. And in the case of Dominic Brown, waiting an entire season to become the number one back. He's coming off an injury. Senoris Perry tore his ACL. From all accounts, he's ready. Brennan Radcliffe waited his turn in a redshirt
really
year.
Excited about Brennan Radcliffe.
Corvin Lamb has waited a lot of time. Because he came in, he wasn't eligible. He had to wait and sit out in gray shirt. Then he redshirted. He had a concussion problem. Then he comes in and plays, and he's behind. He has a little blocking issue. But, you know, these are guys, four guys have worked really hard. They're a close bond. Can Michael Dyer come in, gain the trust and respect of his teammates, and be accepted in the locker room right away, especially if he's outperforming those four guys that, you know, are Louisville Cardinals brothers right now. Because he's an outsider when he comes in, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest challenge facing Michael Dyer right now is getting the trust, particularly of the coaching staff, and getting the trust of the other players on his team. But I think Charlie Strong, when he recruited these guys, he set and told them that if you're going to come to Louisville, we're building this tradition and you're going to compete. And as far as I'm concerned, these guys, if they want to be there and they want to compete, then I think they'll – I mean, I don't know if they should be there if they don't want to compete, you know, because the upward trajectory of Louisville. But it's got to be frustrating for them, and I don't think you'll see Charlie Strong give any handouts, you know. Michael Dyer, whatever he does, whatever carries he gets, he's going to have to earn it.
This edition of the Crunch Zone is brought to you by the O-Line Sports Grill. O-Line is on the front line of Cardinal sports. Come in for wings, happy hour, and $3.99 burgers every Tuesday. It's a sports fan's dream. At the corner of Westport Road and Hurstburn Lane, see the menu online at olinegrill.com and text CRUNCH to 72727 for a buy one, get one free entree.
With the addition of Michael Dyer on the same exact day, you know, the ESPN USA Today college coaches poll was released, and the University of Louisville had its highest ever preseason ranking at number 9. They are behind Clemson, South Carolina, Texas A&M for 6, 7, and 8, and they are in front of the University of Florida, who they dismantled in the Sugar Bowl. Do you think that was a good placement for the University of Louisville?
I think for the first time in a while, I don't know if I have a legitimate gripe with the preseason poll. I think you can make an argument for every team to be ahead of them. The only one that I think you have a solid argument with is Clemson, but give or take, you know, it's 8-9 spot. But I think it's a fair shake, and it's kind of what we expected, and they were ahead of Florida, so there's really no argument there either.
You know, I'm really interested to see where the AP poll comes in, not because the AP poll really doesn't count for anything at all. You know, because I think that when it comes down to the BCS, the computers matter a third, and the computers aren't going to like the University of Louisville this year. So the coaches poll and all of the and the Harris poll, those are the polls that are really going to help the University of Louisville out. And the Harris poll can really be greatly influenced by the AP poll, but it's not firm and set in stone. I actually feel really good about where the University of Louisville is, because I think it gives them an opportunity to make a run. If there is still, and there's still going to be poll chaos to get up there. But I mean, the past 5 years, Alabama and Notre Dame last year, they started 2-24. The year before that, Alabama, LSU started 2-4. So in that scenario, Louisville cannot get into the BCS National Championship. But you got to see, last year, Notre Dame was 24th. Yeah. Now they're Notre Dame.
Yeah.
You know, and they have a lot of really good games on their schedule. So it's not exactly a fair shake. But I think when you look at 2010, this is the year, that's the year, the example year, that the University of Louisville football program really is pointing at, as saying, if we have a year like 2010, we can get into the BCS National Championship game, when Oregon started out preseason number 11 and Auburn at 22.
I mean, the reality is it's college football, you know. Crazy things are going to happen. They happen every year. There's going to be a majority of upsets. But I think what you look at for Louisville, and what hurts Louisville, is the guys in front of them probably all got to have two losses, with the exception of Clemson. And I think that's what you got to look at. Who needs one loss? Who needs two losses for them to surpass?
Right. You know, and I think I actually think that Michael Dyer could help.
Sure.
Once he's on board. And, you know, everybody always talks about the schedule and about how it's not, you know, top tier. But if Louisville's blowing teams out by an average margin of victory of 25 to 30 points, I don't know how you argue with it, especially when you look at last year. You're coming, you know, Florida, the Florida game in the Sugar Bowl doesn't count for anything. But at the same time, Florida had 8 players draft in the NFL draft. Louisville had 0. And you have 19 of 22 starters back. And they did that against a veteran SEC team that went 11-1 in the SEC. So, yeah, they finish out 11-2, and you can say they're disinterested, and you can challenge them and say, you know, they were disinterested. Well, 11-1, so you're saying they're not competitive, you know? But they went 11-1 in the big bad SEC.
Nearly went to the championship.
And they were a couple plays away from the championship. So I don't buy that. I think the University of Louisville has a legitimate claim to be in the top 10. I'm very happy with their placement. I think Michael Dyer will help for that. And, you know, I actually think the University of Louisville schedule is much better than it actually a lot of people give it credit for.
Sure.
But real quick, before we change over the poll, I think we should talk about Ohio State. You know,
yeah, it's fair.
And their schedule, because, okay, we're talking about the University of Louisville schedule, so why don't we talk about Ohio State, Buffalo, San Diego State, Cal. Okay, I get Cal. That'd be nice. Florida A&M, that's not stepping out. Wisconsin, they're 22nd in the poll. So they're a legitimate team, but they could be out of the rankings by the time.
We don't know how they're going to react with the new coaching change. You know?
Northwestern's a top 25 team. They could be out of the poll by the time they play. Then you get through Iowa, Penn State, Purdue, Illinois, Indiana. That's not going to scare anybody before you play Michigan, who could have a good year, could have a bad year.
Who knows?
We don't know.
I think the two teams you mentioned there, with the exception of Michigan, you could say Ohio is good as Northwestern. You could say Cincinnati or Rutgers team is as good as that Wisconsin team. I mean, really don't know what they're going to be. But, yeah, I mean, I think the hot topic for the media has been to jump on Louisville and jump on the scheduling and really disregard the rest of the country. And it's something that Louisville is going to have to be prepared for, because if they're not blowing people out, like you said, then the talk is going to get really loud. So.
Right, because, you know, I mean, I look at just to compare Ohio State to Louisville's schedule. I mean, I like Ohio, okay? You know, they're going to peek their head in the top 25 maybe during the year. Rutgers, you know, they're going to be very tough this year.
Central Florida.
Florida was a 10-game winner last year. Yep. So, you know, what is the difference between Rutgers, Ohio, Central Florida, Cincinnati to Cal, Wisconsin, Michigan?
I mean,
and, you know, I mean, I don't see a difference. I don't see a difference at all, actually.
You even look at the big bad Alabama, the undisputed Alabama. They play the same amount of bowl teams that Louisville plays this year, which is actually a remarkable stat. But that just goes to show you that it's kind of all about perception. You know?
Sure. I do think that, but, you know, Alabama, they always have the SEC brand behind them. Yep. And so, all, you know, it doesn't even matter who they play, and because they don't play a really tough schedule at all. They play a down West Virginia Tech team. They do play LSU. They don't really play anybody out of the East that's going to be tough. They play Kentucky, okay? So we know that that's about. I think the team that to really watch, if you're looking at teams that you could not lose, I think Ohio State's one of them. I think Clemson is one of them, and they open up game one against Georgia. So I think if you're a Louisville Cardinal fan, you're a big Georgia Bulldog fan on August 31st, sure, because that could put Clemson out immediately and move that team out. And then, you know, Clemson actually does close out the season before potentially playing in the ACC title game against South Carolina. I don't think anybody's going to challenge Clemson in the ACC this year.
The only game I think that could actually be a little bit of a scare for them is that North Carolina game the week following the Georgia game, a little bit of a hangover effect in it.
Yeah, they get actually 2 weeks in between the NC State game and the Georgia game. But yeah, I can see where you're going there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they have South Carolina close the season. I definitely think that's – I mean, other than that, in the ACC, I definitely think that's a big – big game for them.
Yeah, they have Florida State, but Florida State's going to be down this year. Same way with Miami, who they could potentially play on the opposite in the ACC championship game, but I don't even think they'll be there in that. And the other two teams that are could potentially be in Louisville's way here are Stanford and Oregon, and they do play each other. So the winner of that game
it's
is really
a cancel out game there. So.
There's a cancel out game, but they still have to play, you know, Oregon State, USC, Notre Dame in the state in the case of Stanford, and then Oregon has, you know, Tennessee, Cal, UCLA, and Arizona and Oregon State. So I really feel good about both those teams getting two losses, or at least one loss each. But I just don't. I just wonder. You know, it's possible like an Oregon team could run the table and be sitting right there with a one loss SEC team, and then Louisville's at third.
And it's certainly even possible that the Alabama gets two losses. I mean, as crazy it is to say and as blasphemy it is to say, is the reality is their unprecedented run is not going to last forever in college football. I'm not saying this is the year with A.J. McCarron and his senior year and things like that, but who knows? Like I said, it's college football.
I said when Alabama was putting up the crystal ball last year, they just beat Notre Dame to a pulp. I actually said next year, the SEC will not win the BCS National Championship because odds are you're going to have a Big Ten school. Odds are you're going to have a Big 12 school or Pac-10 or ACC. The ACC is just not that good this year. Yeah. I mean, outside of Clemson, I mean, this would be the year, if you're a Louisville team, to come in and it'd be Clemson-Louisville for the ACC.
Absolutely.
Because there are good teams, but there's just not that top-level team. And, you know, going undefeated is difficult in college football. I think we all know that. But let's change our final topic. University of Louisville schedule, as soon as a poll was released, like the number 9 team in the country isn't going to play anybody in the preseason top 25. And that's true. I mean, University of Louisville tried to schedule Texas A&M. They tried to schedule Alabama.
Could be playing Georgia this year.
Could have had Georgia on the schedule because this was going to be the third year in a four-game deal. Everything just seemed to not work out. And then you would have had West Virginia also on the schedule, TCU, Boise State, if not for all the conference upheaval.
Boise State, that one game there would give them
much credibility. Yeah. I mean, but if you think about it, like TCU would give them credibility. West Virginia would, even though West Virginia is not going to be that good this year. I mean, just the name brand, folks will look at it and be like, you know what? They tried to schedule folks. They have legitimate traditional power teams on their schedule. It's not Louisville's fault that, you know, in 2002, Florida State wasn't very good. It wasn't Louisville's fault in 2006 that Miami wasn't very good.
You go to West Virginia and you win by double digits. It doesn't really matter the type of season that they have. You're going to get some notability from that.
I agree. And with that, I think the university level can get a lot of help this year. I think Ohio, as we said, could sneak their head into the top 25. They run a really weird offense that, you know, they don't really play a really tough schedule all year, but they will win a lot of games.
They'll win double-digit games. I've seen their schedule. They've got Bowling Green in there, which has obviously always been a kind of a nice team to watch in the MAC. But their quarterback is an outstanding quarterback. He's in the running for a lot of school records there this year, and he's on a few watch lists, and I definitely think he's one to watch. But Ohio and actually that Central Florida team, a team that got 4 votes in the USA Today poll. Ohio got 8, Rutgers got 1. So all 3 of those teams are teams that could sneak in, and who knows about Cincinnati. And, you know, Tuberville there, you would expect him to get some success and get things rolling there. But
yeah, I'm actually looking at Central Florida like a lot because I watched the Central Florida-Ohio State game last year in the Horseshoe. They took Ohio State to the final.
They're a good team.
Final quarter, and they lost 31-16. Okay, 2 scores, but it was a game in the final quarter. I feel like in this year they actually play Penn State at Penn State. They play South Carolina at home. I'm not saying Penn State's all that tough, so I think Central Florida should beat them. But if they could somehow, some way, find a way to beat South Carolina at home. And then the University of Louisville would come in and play a ranked Central Florida team, host a ranked Central Florida team and knock them off. That could help quite a bit, you know, especially Jadeveon Clowney, the number one player in the country. If Central Florida can beat that team, then, you know, that could really help the University of Louisville quite a bit.
You know, it's also one of those things that's kind of a catch-22 because if that Central Florida team goes in, plays those teams tough, plays Louisville tough, a lot of people will be looking at that score and saying, well, Central Florida, you didn't blow them out. They have no notable wins. They're not ranked. They're a 6-win team. But when in reality, they've played a lot of teams closest, but generally when you're looking at just how the posters look at a box score, they'll see that and they'll raise their eyebrow.
Right. You know, I mean, last year they were 21-16 to Missouri. Not a great SEC team, but a pretty traditionally pretty solid program. You know, I mean, not awesome, but somebody who's competed a lot. And then, you know, I look at Rutgers. They play Fresno State and Arkansas. They're not awesome programs this year coming into the year, but they're names. They're better than what the names of the University of Louisville has on their schedule.
Sure.
And then you got South Florida, Willie Taggart. I don't like that game for the University of Louisville because it's October 24th. If I'm going to traditionally, when you play South Florida, I want to play them early in the year. I want to play them late in the year.
Yeah.
But with Willie Taggart being a new coach and them being so bad last year, I want to play them soon. I don't want them to get their ducks in a row. I want to play them, like, early. And that's typically not the case with South Florida. Typically, you want to play them in September, early October, because the wheels just fall off in late October and everything goes crazy. But they actually play Miami and at Michigan State. And Willie Taggart.
Yeah, I think that South Florida game is one to watch. Willie Taggart's been having great recruiting success there. They're in the top 40 along with Rutgers, who's about bringing in the 29th class, and Cal Flood and Willie Taggart. The AAC has some really good coaches.
They really do.
I don't think people kind of miss that, but you look at guys like Charlie Strong, Cal Flood, Willie Taggart, all guys that could legitimately probably go to a lot of places in the country and win 9-10 games a year.
Yeah, Tommy Tuberville. I mean, he had an undefeated team at Auburn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's at Cincinnati kind of a weird way to get to Cincinnati, but, you know, whatever. Kind of odd, actually, to see Texas Tech, a BCS Big 12 team, for him to go to an AAC team.
Yeah.
Without a home and in the AQ, which I don't even think they call it AQ anymore, but, you know, we'll move on, I guess. But UConn, you know, they just got a new offensive coordinator. That's been their problem forever. They've always been had good defense. Nobody really blows them out. They beat the University of Louisville last year. They had a ton of players drafted in the NFL off their defense. They play Maryland and Michigan. I don't know. I'm just putting it out there. There's teams that are playing teams here.
I don't look for that UConn team to do to do much. Not with the quarterback they have.
I got to reach for something. Chris.
You definitely got to reach for something.
but before then, I mean, the Rutgers, the Central Florida, the South Florida. I think those are legitimate claims.
Sure.
The finale of the year in Louisville plays Houston and Memphis between Cincinnati. I think that those two games. I don't know, call them a walk, but. We'll call them a walk. Mm-hmm. Louisville's probably going to rest. It's going to be like a bowl preparation, but they're actually going to have to play scrimmages in between. And I think that University of Louisville is going to be rested, ready to go for that Cincinnati game. Cincinnati has a very similar schedule to the University of Louisville this year. If they play Purdue and Illinois at a conference that are really notable, they're not very good.
Yeah.
Big Ten teams this year. I mean, Purdue, that should be a win. Illinois should be a win. You know, both those coaches. You know, I mean, I don't know. Illinois is probably not going to have that coach after this season. So I actually, if Louisville can take care of business against Rutgers in Central Florida, I expect for them to be 11-0 going into Cincinnati. And I think that that'll be just a major battle, similar to what we saw last year at Rutgers Stadium in Piscataway.
I look at that game, and I think that game will be the closest game on their schedule as far as I expect them to win every game, and I expect them to win most games except maybe two or three pretty handily, and I think that Cincinnati game is a game that could almost go either way. Like you said, Tommy Tuberville up there, you know, getting things rolling, and I know the fans of Cincinnati are really excited about the direction he's going. I think it's going to be really interesting to see the maturation of Munchie Legault and see if he's kind of figured things out, because a lot of people watched that Louisville-Cincinnati game where he was kind of up and down, but there was a lot of times during the season where he was really good. And the Virginia Tech game, he was outstanding. Threw for almost 300 yards or somewhere around that. Through the overtime win to seal that, there was a lot of games where he was really good, and there was a lot of games where he was really bad. So I think when I look at that Cincinnati team, that's who I look at.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I know Louisville Cardinal fans are really excited about the addition of Michael Dyer. They're excited about the number 9 team in the country. I think that they need to be prepared to defend the schedule and start taking these teams to task that have avoided the University of Louisville in the scheduling process, instead of allowing the national writers to just continually beat up the University of Louisville schedule like a pinata. It should be, well, look, we had all these other teams lined up ready to play. They didn't want to play. So why don't you go talk to them? Because it's just not fair to keep putting it on the University of Louisville when they're ready, willing, and able to play, but they can't get, you know, Michigan. They called the conference every single team in the Big Ten. Absolutely, every single time. And, you know, you can say bowl games don't mean all that much. Well, then let's play a meaningful game because we're ready to do that. Well, that'll wrap it up for today's episode of The Crunch Zone. Thanks for tuning in, and catch us here every Monday on our website, thecrunchzone.com, louisville.am, or you can even download our podcast on iTunes.